But I won't go into those for now. But one thing to maybe reflect is the Buddha's world in some ways was a very different world from our world. The Buddha lived in the Iron Age. You know, when we think of it, the world that the Buddha inhabited, that he went back into, was in many ways, many of its particularities and its circumstances, extremely different from the world that we inhabit today. And that world that we inhabit today has changed so dramatically, even over the last century. Somebody said, I can't remember who, that in the 20th century, things changed things got better and better, and worse, faster and faster than ever before. And perhaps that is, to some extent, a sign. Perhaps that is one of the main characteristics of life in the 21st century. It's better than it ever was in some ways. It's worse than it ever was in some ways. And it jolly well happens faster. It really does happen fast. The speed of change is quite remarkable in all sorts of ways. Although the Buddha lived in a very different world from ours in some ways, we could say, well, samsara is still samsara. The details might be very different. The speed might be different. But nevertheless, we could say that greed, hatred and delusion are still pretty omnipresent. I don't think we could say they're any less present than the days when the Buddha first went back to teach his teachings. Samsara still exists. Maybe one change is that greed, hatred and delusion seem to exist in ever more institutionalized forms. Perhaps that's always been the case. Certainly in the world that we live in, we can see massively institutionalized forms of greed, hatred and delusion. And I think sometimes this leaves us feeling very powerless. I think we can sometimes feel very helpless in the face of these massive organizations. You know, nation states, corporations, all those different things. We can kind of think, well, what can I do in the face of this massive change? Well, I think one thing we can do is we can ask ourselves, what would the Buddha do, or what would the Buddha say in relation to some of the problems that we face today? It's quite hard to go back to the scriptures and find exact things that we can say. You know, the Buddha said, you definitely shouldn't fly because of the carbon emissions and the effect that's having on climate change. And we probably can't point to the exact sutra where the Buddha says, you know, really try and think where what you're buying has been sourced from. Really try and think of the third world. I mean, the Buddha was in the third world, except that it wasn't a third world at that point. The Buddha was just in his world. You know, so we probably can't come up and say, look, here is this particular scripture in which the Buddha gave us a lot of teachings about ecological awareness. There are some, actually, that you can do that with, and it's very interesting to do that. But maybe more important is to really try and, within ourselves, within our own lives, see what the principles are that the Buddha gave us. And how do those principles apply to the world that we're living in? And although the world that we're in is very complex, I think quite often we can apply quite simple, straightforward, ethical principles to the things that we are involved in. And you know that saying of, I think it's Greenpeace or Friends of the Earth, of think global, act local. Well, I think that's actually a very good little tenet for metta bhavana, for universal loving kindness. You know, we can think globally. We can really think that everything we do has a global effect. And yet all we can really do in a way is act where we can act. And it seems to me that sometimes because we're aware of the global needs, we don't act at all. You know, we stop ourselves from acting. And if I may quote somebody from a completely different religious tradition, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who said to somebody once, people say my actions are but a drop in the ocean. And I replied, the ocean is made only of drops. So when we act our own little drop in the ocean, when we act in line with our ethical principles, then we are in fact a drop in an ocean, and that ocean needs to have those drops within it. We can apply clear ethical principles. And we do in Buddhism, we have very strong and very clear principles in the five ethical precepts. And you could say that these principles are applicable in many different levels. In a book I was having a look at recently called Engaged Spiritual Practice, the author, Donald Rothberg, puts forward the idea that we can practice our ethics in a personal from a personal perspective, a relational perspective, and a collective perspective, and that each of the precepts and ethical principles can be looked at on those levels. They're obviously very intertwined, and the actions that we take personally do, of course, have an effect relationally, and those relational effects will have a broader effect on the collective that we're part of. But I think it is quite a good way of actually thinking about ethical actions and to just realise that every action that we make, whether it's skillful or unskillful, will have an effect on us personally. It will have an effect on our relations and the people that we're in close relationship with. And it will, and this is perhaps the one that's harder to always see, but it will have an effect collectively.